Welcome back to the show. Legal news in sport with Peter Gordon. Up next, if you've been injured, Gordon Legal can help. We're going to be talking about Israel Folau. This is a really interesting sports story. It obviously has deeper ramifications than that. It goes far broader. If you want to join in, if you have any questions about it or points you want Peter Gordon to respond to about this story and this matter, feel free to get on the line. 1-300-736-736. Peter's happy to take some calls on it. I'm interested to hear your views and your thoughts about how it should play out and how it should be handled. We know that, you know, he's got his hearing now. He's challenged the findings of Rugby Australia. We'll wait and see where that one goes. Adam Peacock's going to join us. Remarkable 90 minutes. Unbelievable drama. Tottenham v Manchester City. VAR gets involved with the last two scores in inverted commas. One stood, one didn't, and that was the one that mattered the most in the end. We'll talk to Peacock about that when he joins us. Dave Donaghy, Melbourne Storm CEO. They get a huge game tomorrow night. Good Friday game against the Roosters. 1v2 grand final rematch. It doesn't get much better than that. Lenny Hayes to join us as well. There's a load to get through. Feel free to join in. Peter, lovely to see you. You terrified me last night, I've got to say.
How so, Andy?
Well, because I knew you were coming on today and you said, let's talk about Israel Folau. And we had some people come on this show who are reasonably well prepared. The one that's just exited the studio always does a lot of work for his segment, Terry Wallace. But you said you'd done some rough notes preparing for this. Well, your rough notes, 1, 2, 3, 4, I'll keep going. I won't count all. There were 11 pages of rough notes you prepared for this last night. It terrified me. I stayed up until about 3 o'clock in the morning reading them all.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologise.
Is it that complex a case? It seems to me that it's actually not that complex, but do you get a sense that it is there are some deeper complexities to the Folau case than maybe somebody like me is taking into account?
I think it trails off into all sorts of directions that are interesting. And one thing that I didn't put down is, the general question of what rights do sports people have to portray their political, religious or personal beliefs. And it struck me in the context of it that, you know, I gave away the presidency of the Bulldogs for the first time at the end of my first stint in 1996 and then had a few years away from the game. The first time I actually heard of a kid called Robert Murphy was a couple of years after he started, because I truly had kind of lost a bit of interest in it over that period. But I remember reading an article in about 2002 where, as a young bloke, he had taken the field with "No War" tattooed on his arm.
Yeah, that's right. I do.
And he got into trouble from the club about it. And I remember saying to my wife at the time, this is the first time that I've regretted not being the president of the Footscray Football Club since 1996, because if he'd done that, there's no way that I would have castigated him or sanctioned him for expressing something, because I passionately, you know, was against that war as well. And I think she said to me, yeah, well, what if he expressed something at the other end of the political spectrum? How would you feel about it then?
And I'm fascinated by that, because this kind of goes to part of the issue that's confronting Rugby Australia when it comes to handling this matter, because they want to be obviously deeply inclusive of the gay community and other elements of society.
Yep.
But at the same time, they don't want to be excluding, those fans of rugby who hold deep Christian views and values. And it seems that through the prism of Israel Folau at the moment, there is this locking of the horns between the two, that it almost, which way are you going to go on this? You're either going to support the bloke's freedom of speech, or you're going to hold him to a breach of, the contract that we had with him.
It's going to be a fascinating case, because from the legal point of view, there are two ways into it from Rugby Australia's point of view. One is to say that you have breached the law, that Israel has breached the law by vilifying, if you like, a particular sexual orientation. Now, that's not a breach under federal law in the way that, for example, racial vilification is a breach of the Section 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act. But there is a state New South Wales law which does forbid and make illegal vilification of particular sexual cohorts. So it may well be that they'll choose to go down that route and say that because you've acted unlawfully, that's a sufficient basis to breach the contract. But what they're likely to do, and what's been reported, is that there are codes of conduct. The contract requires that he comply with all relevant codes of conduct. The Rugby Australia Code of Conduct requires that there be no such vilification. And as we've seen in the last 24 hours, he's previously said to Rugby Australia, if the things I say in support of my religion are what you see as against that code of conduct, yeah. then I will walk away.
Yeah.
Which may in itself become a legal argument for Rugby Australia.
So how carefully will they be going, Rugby Australia, that is, how carefully will they be going back over their policy, their contract that they have with Israel Folau and potentially other players, obviously, and making sure that to the letter of that contract, they are on solid ground when it comes to what he is allowed to do and what he's not allowed to do according to that contract in a social media type forum. I would imagine they'd be scurrying, wouldn't they, to make sure that they are on really solid legal ground to make sure that they can take the position they took a couple of days ago.
Well, in the one sense, and in the other sense, of course, it's a pretty simple proposition. If you propagate on social media the suggestion that if you are gay, you will go to hell, does that constitute vilification? Now, I think most reasonable people would say yes, it does.
Yeah, yes.
You may hold that view. It's another thing to express it publicly when we know that you've got hundreds of thousands of fans and that Rugby Australia and the Waratahs have invested in you and assisted your reputation in order to build their brand and build that inclusiveness and do a lot of the marketing and promotion of the game around you in that way.
1-300-736-736. Feel free to join in if you want. I know it's a challenging topic. None of us, or not many of us, are lawyers and have a legal mind, but if you've got any questions about this, feel free to put them to Peter Gordon. Why is there still some people of very high position with loud voices and large audiences still arguing the fact that this is a freedom of speech case and not a a breach of employment contract? Some people are very strong on hanging on to that proposition that it is more one than the other. Can you understand why that's the case?
Oh, I think we've got a very broad political spectrum in Australia. And I think no secret, of course, Alan Jones is one of the people that you're talking about.
Who came out and
said this is a matter of freedom of religion. It's one thing to hold religious views, of course, and it's another thing to propagate them. I mean, it's a sad fact of the history of religion, of course, that it does involve vilification of various people. Everyone has a laugh on that show, The Book of Mormon, when some guy says, I believe that God changed his mind about coloured people in 1978.
Right.
But, yeah, the history of Mormonism is a deeply racist history.
Mm.
And, you know, Margaret Court, the whole controversy about Margaret Court Arena speaks a little bit about what's going on in the American South at the moment, where a lot of Confederate monuments, which have been revered for over a century, are now seen as symbolising and honouring people who defended slavery.
So just stepping away from Izzy for a moment, while you brought that up, should the name of that venue, according to the way you view these matters, whether they be legal or moral, should the name of that stadium have been changed?
I don't think there's an onus on Tennis Australia legally to change it, however offensive Margaret Court's statements may have been. And I will say personally, stepping aside from the legal issues for a moment, I've felt differently about that arena since I've heard her comments in the last little while. I physically remember it when I go to the Australian Open and don't feel like going into that stadium. But if I'm Craig Tiley, the guy who's running Tennis Australia at the moment and looking at my legal obligations, I don't think there's a legal obligation. I don't think a gay tennis player, for example, could say I'm discriminated against by being forced to play in that stadium. But it does, when you put into context the similarity between some of the more offensive comments made by both Israel Folau and Margaret Court, it seems in one sense odd that one of them is having his contractual rights questioned and may lose millions of dollars, but on the other hand, the name of the stadium doesn't change.
So when Rugby Australia sits down to consider its reaction to the Israel Folau Instagram post and the fact that he doesn't want to retract, when they sit down and put yourself in the position of president of your footy club that you occupy now and imagine you've got a sort of similar situation, like, you know, Richmond's had to confront with players who have, you know, been done for drink driving when, you know, the TAC was their sponsor. How mindful, how front of mind is the reality that we have got multi-million dollar corporate sponsorship deals with organisations that are absolutely inclusive or would like to be seen to be absolutely inclusive, and this puts our relationship with those corporate entities to some in some kind of threat. How real are there many other are there many factors that sit above that as ones that you take into account?
So you've got three or four obligations as board of governance of an AFL club, and one of them, of course, is to comply with the codes and policies of the AFL itself. And if they have anti-vilification protocols to them, and they do, then you need to govern your club consistently with that. But as you've pointed out, particularly with the drink drive histories, not just of Richmond, but earlier with other clubs, there are massive financial consequences to doing that. And then you've got your general obligations as a board to conduct yourself in that way. You know, clubs are not-for-profit organisations, which these days a big part of their rationale and a lot of their funding, and not just corporate but government funding, comes from being seen to be a good corporate citizen. So, you know, there's a lot at stake with those things.
Geez, you have to straddle a lot of lines, don't you? Like, there's a this while you I think this is a fairly straightforward matter. It looks fairly straightforward to me, but then you think there's a lot of different elements that come into this. The one that we mentioned before, that by including one cohort, you don't want to exclude another. You want to be supportive of your player, but you've got a, who's a great player in a World Cup year, and you're probably, you know, you've got the football department probably saying, if there's any way we can hang on to this bloke, please let us hang on to him. Let's be seen to be strong, but, you know, at the end of the day, if we can get out of this with him still a wallaby, that'd be great. But you've got to be mindful of, at the same time, the corporations that are supporting your organisation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that do come into play.
You know, likewise, I was reminded of the LA Clippers owner 10 years ago who expressed to his girlfriend in a private conversation, which she secretly taped, some really overtly racist and horrifying statements. And the point of difference there, of course, is that he never intended them for the public domain. But when they leaked out into the public domain, so much of his team, of his franchise, including many of the players of colour who played for him, were so offended that they played for a man who held those sort of beliefs that generated its own pressure, even though that wouldn't have breached any particular law either in America or in Australia. So you've got to keep your playing group cohesive as well, and make sure that the values of your owners are seen to align with those of your players and your main stakeholders.
Most of you will know the voice. It belongs to Peter Gordon. If you've been injured at work or on the road, contact Gordon Legal. Gordon Legal, it's personal. There's a few people who want to join in the conversation. Pete, you're happy to take some calls?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Dom's in Burwood and has jumped on the line. Good afternoon to you, Dom.
Yeah, g'day. Okay, Peter, g'day, Andy. Look, just a couple of points. Okay, they might be able to sack him because he's breached their contract. But if he went to court for wrongful dismissal, he said that they'll go to hell. Tell me, how many witnesses have they got to say what hell is like? How many people have been to hell? It doesn't exist. It's a mythical place.
Yeah, the question
is, it's not like he said they all should be murdered or shot or whatever. He said they go to hell. In court, how would that stand up to say he's going to go to hell, which is some place that no one even knows exists?
Yeah, so Dom, the argument that Rugby Australia would make would be that in saying that as the relevant part of the disparagement was that homosexual people will go to hell, is that he is inferring that they are evil, because the what we understand about the Christians' belief about hell is that evil people go there, and that constitutes disparagement, and that would be the basis of the allegation, whether or not you believe that there is some imaginary friend of Israel Folau who keeps a fiery dungeon in the afterlife.
Would you, just before we get to Mark, thanks for your call, would you like to take, would you, if I asked you to defend Israel Folau, just purely as a lawyer, for somebody who likes to fight matters, would you, is this a case that you think would be an interesting one from a legal perspective to take on?
Oh, yeah, it's got...
Would you prefer to prosecute it or defend it?
No, I'd prefer it. I'd prefer Rugby Australia's position.
Right.
In this case, from an ethical point of view or a moral point of view,
I
should say, if I was defending Israel Folau, I would first of all make the argument that freedom of expression includes the freedom to express religious beliefs, and what I've done is, and what he has done, what my client has done, is no more than to quote a relevant section of the Old Testament. And there are various elements of the Old Testament which are set in an historical context, and if they're simply read you know, literally can stand for all sorts of things. And I'm simply quoting a part of the Bible that says that people should live a traditional good life as I do, and it shouldn't be taken out of context like that. And, you know, I think there would be subsidiary arguments whether my client would accept them or not would be another thing. But you could simply say, to the extent that this sort of stuff comes from the Old Testament, and to the extent that it's part of the audience for it are people who are atheists anyway or who doubt you know, the literality of the Old Testament, no one's going to take it that seriously anyway.
Mark's in Kew, wants to have a chat about this. It's a really interesting story, and it obviously has significant ramifications from our rugby team's perspective, but it's clearly, Mark, a bigger story than that. Good afternoon, mate. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Yeah, it's been an interesting debate. I love the commentary that you've both had on this because it's quite balanced. I find it funny that the press have picked up and run with this. Like he said, people will go to hell if they don't repent, and he listed drunks, adulterers, liars, gays, etc. It seems to me that people have more of a problem that he actually has that opinion rather than the fact that he stated it. I think people are being vilified nowadays for actually having Christian views.
Well, this is the matter, isn't it? That is this what this is about, or is it more about the breach of contract? And that's, I take Mark's point, but I don't think that this is what this is about.
Yeah, I think, Mark, respectfully, legally, I don't think that's where the argument would be. Rugby Australia can't criticise Israel Folau for holding those views. It's the public expression of them on a forum that thousands of people are looking at, and to the extent that people, and in particular young people or vulnerable people or gay people or atheists, but let's focus in. It's the
gay community.
It's the gay community, which is can reasonably be looked at as being vilified by this, that constitutes the breach or the alleged breach. And that's the strongest ground that rugby have got. And what reinforces, to put it one more time, what reinforces Rugby Australia and Raylan Castle's position is that they've been through this before. They've had the discussion about it, and he's actually said to her, said to Rugby Australia, if I continue to express these things in a way that doesn't comply, I'll walk away from the contract.
Exactly.
If I was acting for Rugby Australia, I'd be relying heavily on that representation.
Hey, Paul, if you've got a bit of time up your sleeve, we'll get to you on the other side of the break. We've just got to clear the decks a little bit. Peter Gordon in the studio talking about the hot topic of the day. If we get a chance, I've got to ask you about Monconti. I've got to ask you what's going on with your AFLW team, Pete, because there's some serious movement going on.
Ask away, Andy.
Yeah, we'll do that on the other side of this. Paul's in Mill Park. He wants to join in the conversation about Israel Folau and some of the complexities rolling around that with Peter Gordon. Far away, Paul.
G'day, guys. I thought before I start, I might just say that I thought what Izzy said was abhorrent and I didn't agree with any of it. But, Peter, I'm interested in your opinion, and that being the key word. Is this not his opinion? I mean, offence is taken. It's not given. So, well, I could say something that offends you but might not offend somebody else. Is that an argument?
Well, it may be an argument, but what if your opinion was that one particular race was superior to another race? So it was an opinion cast in a racially charged atmosphere.
I see what you mean. As I say, I don't agree with him, but I just wonder, you know, whether the rugby league is you know, able to fight an opinion, what it was.
I think it's a bit simpler than that. It seems to me that it is just a breach of his contract arrangement with Rugby Australia, but all these other matters do roll around, you know, on the edges of it. But we'll wait and see. We're going to find out sooner rather than later, and then I'm sure there's going to be more legal elements to it. There'll be appeals no matter which way it rolls out, I would imagine. John's in Sydney. Last call on this. Time's on the fly. Hi, John.
G'day, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Not at all.
Peter, you were pretty spot on earlier about what he said. It wasn't really he quoted it, but it was from exactly word for word from the Bible. And so that's probably his best way of getting off, is just to say, I put something from the Bible on social media. That's not necessarily, well, he won't say it's not necessarily my opinion, but he'll say, I didn't say anything bad towards anyone, but it's going to be very interesting because
we're coming up to the news headlines, mate, so we're going to have to give you a little wriggle on, unfortunately. I think we've sort of got to the position that John was arriving at. Have you got, in about 30 seconds, why summing this up, how it's going to play out?
Well, I think that you would make that argument, but I think clearly, you know, there's any number of things that you can put out on Instagram. He put something out on Instagram because he endorsed it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the problem for him.
Well, we have to let you go. You've got other business you need to attend to. Maybe next week we'll hold the conversation about the notion of loyalty when it comes to some of these AFLW players who are making life decisions about their own existences. We might do that with you next week.
Happy to, Andy.
Good on you. Thanks for coming. We'll wait and see how this one plays out. It's a fascinating story with Israel Folau. Peter Gordon joining us. Time for the latest from the newsroom.